Welcome to Notcast, episode 283, Horse Famous. I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And I'm Shiva.
And only one of us here is horse famous enough.
Yeah.
And it ain't the you microphone. Guys. Yeah, so it has been a few weeks since we last recorded. I have gone up to Seattle. Fuzz, you went to Reno. Mm-hmm. And Shiva, well, you've been a couch.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Wait, did you go to Louisiana before or after this episode?
I don't think we've recorded since I went to
Louisiana. Oh, so you went to Louisiana. We've been traveling. We're well-traveled, edumacated furries here. So, we were having a conversation before this started about how not to PR.
So this week's drama report, there's a heavy drama wave which is being blown in from Europe. And is slowly rolling over the plains of the U.S. And it's going to clash into another drama wave, which is generating in Northern California, leading to what we predict will be a shitstorm.
We haven't had one of this potential magnitude in quite a while, Fuzz.
Yeah, not since, like, last week.
That's kind of how it goes.
Yes.
Furry.
We should have
furry never changes.
Just, maybe just do that on a regular basis. Have a weather report style drama report. There's so, a scattering of shitsticles in this area.
So yeah, don't ever fight with people on Twitter if you're representing a convention's Twitter account
or a business. Just put it a business.
Yeah, don't a business. With cons people. Are businesses after all.
Not according to this particular con. They claimed over and over the last time, we're not a business. We're not a business. We don't have to conduct ourselves in a certain way.
Well,
like professionals?
Yeah.
Hashtag professional.
So what we were discussing is your reference's Twitter account. And they made a policy. That's not actually my problem with
Yeah,
this
the policy
situation.
They're free to set because it's their con.
It's like the policy you can argue as to whether it's good or bad and what its merits are and where the line is drawn. But it was when people asked them questions about it, they reacted by getting into fights with them, swearing at them. And I'm just imagining like...
You know, Fuzz, around whites, internet fights.
What? What?
I said, you know, Fuzz, around whites, internet fights.
Oh, okay.
I'm being silly.
All right. I hadn't heard that expression before. But yeah, like, you know, just, I don't know. And I know I saw at least one guy on Twitter was like, emailed the con chair, got the word from him. Yep, I'm not going. Canceling my flight.
Yeah,
doing
sucks.
A charge back on his card because EF won't refund his admittance fee.
That's.
They believe in no refunds at all. I don't know what all the different cons...
It's usually some degree of...
I mean, it's to a
out.
Point. How far away is your reference at this point?
It's like mid-August.
Yeah, there's no reason for them to do that being assholes.
I don't know, like Fiesta does it like 30 days or...
Yeah, it's like 30
That's
days.
What we do. We have a no questions asked refund policy pretty much up until...
They have
like
a
30
zero
days out.
Refund policy at all.
It's usually like right around when we close pre-reg because at that point we're starting to order stuff. And, you know, the money's spent. Sorry, guys.
Well, that's what we do. We don't close pre-reg, but we, you know, money's going out at a quick rate at that point. You got your, you know, half at 30 plus buying supplies and whatnot and the mm-hmm. money for... The con books and the shirts are coming out and all that stuff. So refunds are not really much of an option. But even when people ask us, we had this happen like last year. Somebody had like a family emergency and we just said, okay, if you're still in the fandom next year, contact us and we'll cover your badge.
Yeah.
Because we got their money, but they weren't able to come. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if we can coordinate the emails and, you know, match things up, yeah, sure, they can come on in. Great.
Well, I mean,
we're sorry you couldn't come last year. Hope things worked out. And come and enjoy the con. Because
cons are not supposed to be some massive, faceless, evil corporation.
Oh, goodness, no.
Or something like that. You kind of have to work with your community. And like you were saying, on that guy was like a one-to-one sort of situation.
Real outlier kind of things.
For reference. So Fiesta's March 11th. And accepts refunds up until February 15th, so about a month.
yeah,
before to come.
So, and the thing is there was also a couple of other kind of anti-American comments.
Yeah, so the last time...
Damn filthy Amerifats.
So the last time Euroferns really stepped on their dick was...
That's a hell of a phrase.
It's something I picked up on Twitter. But was Mitty Mandy had posted... Someone had asked if she was going to go to Euroferns, and she was like, no, I can't afford to pay for it and then not get a dealer's table, which I totally understand as a dealer. Shiva, you probably have a real good idea
position. Hell of a layout to be an American and to go over to Euroferns, you know, if you don't have...
Right, and their Euroferns does their dealer's room in a very different way, which we can argue whether it's a good way or not. I think it's terrible, but, I mean, it's what's worked for them or whatever. But basically, the way that they choose to operate their dealer's room, which is, to me,
perfectly
acceptable, you know? But apparently that caused this huge stink of people going back and forth and how, like, well, you shouldn't be going to a con just to make money. It's not about making money. It's about going and having fun. And these, I don't want to see your friends turn into this, where these greedy American artists come over. And, like, people are actually saying stuff like that. It is mostly, like, God,
going to a European con as an American is, like, the lowest profit margin con possible. If your friends was massive and Anthrocon sides.
Hotel shipping any goods over.
Yeah, you probably go...
Skeleton.
Maybe break even, you know, as an excuse to go over to Europe.
Like, yeah.
Tieran and I have talked and been like, if we ever visit Germany, it's not going to be to go to Euroferns. We're going to go to visit fucking Europe.
We're going to see some fucking castles,
you know, because I can go to a furry con in the States every weekend if I want to.
But hey, here you could be, you know, accosted by fursuiters talking at you in languages you can't understand.
Right, yeah, exactly. Like, oh my God, can you imagine how terrified I would be if a fursuiter is yelling at me in German and I'm just like, oh my God, you can fuck me, just please stop yelling.
Schweinhund!
I'd just be shitting myself. I
don't know what you want, but you sound angry and he's wishing you a nice day.
I saw it.
Auf Wiedersehen!
Somebody was talking about how, like, the chairman had some sort of issue with a baby fur years ago that really pissed him off, so he really can't stand baby furs. And I'm just like, was there a conflict between diaper play and the German Scheisse community?
Well, I mean,
they got no issues with inflatables, though.
That's just one of those weird things. It's like, if you're a con chairman, yeah, you've got your personal biases, but I don't know if you should really let that dictate
Con
policies.
Right.
And it certainly shouldn't let you dictate how you treat, you know, people as when you're speaking as the entity.
As the entity, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like me as an example, if I was a con chair, I'm not really fond of baby furs, to be honest. I think it's because I don't like kids, but it kind of squicks me, rubs me the wrong way, you know. But, and at the same time, you know I'm not really comfortable around fursuits, but I wouldn't be like, ban all baby furs, ban all fursuits. While you're at it, ban anything else I don't like, you know. And I said to Zyro on Twitter today, half the fucking con would be gone if I just came in and banned everything I didn't like, because I've become a grumpy old man and there's a lot of shit in the fandom that I don't like. But you know, it wouldn't make sense to do that as a con chair.
It's not about you.
Right, exactly. The con's supposed to be for everybody, but, you know, if you...
Basically what it is it's not about you, and when you're that combative out of a, you know, business, and I hate to say it, they say they're not a business, what the hell else are you?
They're a registered legal entity in Germany. They take in money, they provide a service, they're a fucking business.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You take people's money, you provide a service, that's a fucking business.
So yeah, don't be a dick on Twitter, kids. Especially if you're representing an organization that's much larger than yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, people are thinking it's a top con chair running it, but it's still somebody representing an organization.
Yeah, whatever PR person is fucking up.
There's like three or four people that run the account. but people were saying, like, the guy was saying the same thing on his personal account or something like that.
God damn it.
So, yeah, it's just, and two, I hate to say it, but the cub and baby fur community is very big and they're very noisy. That's not a fight you really want to pick.
Mm.
That's really not a fight you want to pick.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
So what was in California?
So much like what happened with Rainforest a few months ago, FC sent out its emails to dealers as to whether they got into the dealer's room.
Right? Oh, those. God, those are always such a source of drama, and I'm not looking forward to having to deal with that myself here in the near future.
They moved to a juried system last year, and they took it a slightly different direction this time. I don't know how they did it last year, but apparently this year they had 7 people that, and I don't know how much of this is actually second, third, fourth, eighth hand rumor and how much is actually how they did it, but apparently 7 people had to spend fake money in a virtual dealer's room. So they're like, if I go to artist A, oh, I'd totally spend 20 fake dollars with this person, and then they added it all up in a portion.
So it was like people. Fucking Eurovision.
I don't.
I grant 8 points to EC major.
So there was a
20 points to Fur Planet. I love their porn.
There was like a scale from 0 to 7, and he emailed everybody.
$7 like, won't buy shit.
They're like, you didn't get in. You scored 1 point, or you scored 0 points.
So
the people that didn't get in were like, it's bad enough to not get in,
but you
be told you sucked as an artist because you didn't get any points.
Wow.
You know? So that's what really caused some ire. And now, here's something I have to say.
That would rustle some serious jimmies.
Has been mostly silent. At the beginning, they were replying to some folks, and then they're like, okay, this is a shitball that is gradually rolling way out of control. So the FC Twitter account has been quiet for a little while. Now, a couple of the folks, the artists that have posted journals to have FA talking about this and have had very like long threads of conversation with a lot of responses on it. The staff member of FC, who is the marketing coordinator this year, he was the con chair last year, has actually replied to a couple of them and said, hey, I'm preparing a statement. I'm looking through all these threads for any additional questions anybody has, and I'll be putting together a Q&A and releasing a statement in a couple of days.
Mm.
So obviously they've seen that this did not play out the way that they wanted it to. I mean, they made some decisions. They tried a different process. It's clearly backfired to a degree on them. But at least like somebody high up in their organization is like, we're reading all of your feedback and we're going to release a statement in a couple of days. So my advice to most people would be to sort of hold off on the pitchforks until that statement comes out and sees if the con can clarify any of these issues. Now, I have seen, okay, I understand why people are upset. I understand why FC's upset that shit didn't roll very smoothly. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I have seen some really ridiculously overstated reactions.
Oh, of course.
You know? Because, like, artists will post, I'm very upset. They said I only got 2 points, and that makes me feel bad. And then I've seen one of them, we're talking about, like, a totalitarian regime. FC doesn't care, and like, oh, this board made this decision. You know all about board, Shiva, and how they're the secret masters of
how
all
much is the board skimming off the top?
Yeah.
Oh god, that freaking email chain.
God.
Did I relate that on the show?
Yeah, you did, but you'll have to forward it to me so I can read it and laugh.
It's like, oh my God, I pay money to the con.
It's like, we put money into all of our conventions. What are you talking about?
I have gotten paid zero. I am in the negative.
Oh, dude.
Somebody named the ALAA, which is the Board of Further Confusion. They're like, I didn't even know such a thing existed. And they were just like, their comment read as shocked and horrified.
Do you think this is a commune?
It is some sort of organization controlling things. But I just...
Most of the time, it's about 9 people sitting around your dining room table figuring out if we have to pay for music rights.
We are not in any way associated with Further Confusion. So.
No, we are our own beasts.
You know, it's like, you know who else had jury dealers' rooms? Nazis. You know, it's just reading those comments. That was all I could think.
When you think about it, if there was a furry con in 1940 or so, they would all be Nazi furs.
And one of the other things I saw was like, there's some sort of agency in California. They're like, oh, we should complain to them and like attack their 501c3 status and stuff like that. God. It's like, really? So you want to just like destroy the whole con?
The thing is, if people would even do that, that makes them a liability.
Yeah.
To not only that con, but to any other con that would potentially engage with them. A good way to get your ass blacklisted from cons is to take adverse action against one of them. Mm-hmm. You don't think we talk? You don't think that there isn't a shadowy cable. There's a shadowy cable that it's called the internet. Shadowy cabal of...
It connects to the tubes.
Yes, of con chair people that discuss things. I can't English. I'm sorry. I can't learn finicking English. Yap, 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 yap.
And don't forget the sucking noises.
Go ahead.
I mean, the first year of Fiesta wasn't bad. We actually had to go and hunt out the last couple dealers. We didn't fill up right away. Second year, filled up pretty quickly. And then the shitstorm
started. Yeah.
We're opened it up, and we're full.
Yep.
Oh, we're full. Well, shit. And then, yeah. And it's just gotten worse years and years later. Last year, we had 86 tables, and I had, like, 150 applicants.
Well,
That's just... I have to say that when I go and I prep the list, and Fiesta is first come, first serve. We've got a couple of, you know, dealers that we partner with to get some stuff for registration. But there's only maybe 4 a year. It's not like we do a whole bunch. And then last year we introduced a small lottery pool where, okay, you couldn't be there when the tide broke. Then, okay, you got a shot to get in. But still, when I'm prepping up that email to send out to say, okay, you're good, and I hit click, there's just this bracing because I know that somebody out there is going to go for my throat because I have... I mean, and it kills me because I see people down the list where they've been dealers in prior years, and I really wanted to see them again, and they probably won't come this year. It is people I wanted to really, you know, they're old friends or at least old coworkers, and it kills me because they're left standing. I don't want to be the bad guy. But I only have X amount of people, and I've got about double the demand. And so every time, I'm going to piss off. I'm going to make a whole bunch of people happy, and I'm going to make a whole bunch of people mad.
Well, like I dug up my vendor applications. We have like 38 tables, and we're already past 60 applications. And the thing is, our vendor application period doesn't end until 2 weeks after ACON, because that gives people who were at ACON an opportunity to potentially apply as well. We're going to have easily 200% capacity application wise. And there is a lot of people we have a good relationship with, good vendor relationships, and some of them might not get in because holy fuck, we've got this many people lining up to possibly vend, and you know, and even amongst people we like or we know who they are, not even the unknowns who we might have not known of, because we can't, you know, be total play favoritism. We do have to review everybody on the list. And it's just like, we're going to have that situation here real soon, because like, I'm looking, I know how many tables we got in the vendor hall, and I know how many applications I saw on my phone here, and it doesn't close for at least two more weeks.
Holy shit. I got a stat here actually relevant to FC. It was one of the staffers tweeted that they had 173 applicants, 98 available seats. So it's not quite 200%, but it's like, what, 170,
150 yeah.
or something.
It means you need to say, you have to say no to half the people that applied. Mm-hmm. Half of your applicants are going to be extremely unhappy, and that's if you do one table per person.
Yeah.
I think I have about a third of my dealers where they get two tables.
Mm-hmm.
So
we're actually going to be limiting to one table per, except in like one instance, because that particular person has just a huge table, the Paper Ponies folks.
And it's just, it.
The merch is huge, and they just need the space.
Who are angry necessarily realize that it's not fun for us to say no.
No.
I mean,
there's a lot of things going around. Like, a lot of people are like, well, they're only putting in the popular artists, or it's a conspiracy to push out all the older artists. And like, there's all this conspiracy theories, and people are applying a lot of motives to the people that picked the tables, which I don't think are actually there. You know, I don't you know, there's that true saying, though, is like, given a choice between malice and incompetence, it's usually incompetence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I don't think there's some evil cabal or some malicious intent at FC to, well, we're in particular going to fuck over this group of people.
It's like, here, I don't like this person because they draw X.
Yeah, I honestly don't believe people go into being on a con staff with that kind of agenda in mind.
And
I think that their rollout is maybe a little ill-advised.
The whole telling people you didn't get in, also you got like no points, that's just dumb.
See, here's the problem is that,
I mean, it is full disclosure, but sometimes that
sometimes full disclosure shoots you in the foot.
They went a little too far in the other direction, because everybody was so pissed at Rainburst, and they were like, we demand
clarity
and an openness.
We demand your head.
You know, your head, yeah. I mean, some of these people would not be happy with anything less than a concierge's head and a stick. And I think FC saw that. And I actually think what FC did before the con, they handled very well. They posted, we have four major rule changes, and we talked about this on the show. We have all these major rule changes to how we're doing our dealers this year. And they posted it on the website, and each major rule change was in large text, bolded, and then the description below it. And they put out there before the applications opened that this process, this committee of seven people would be selecting, and it would be a juried thing. So I think they started off right.
And
by putting it all on Front Street and being like, this is how we're doing it. But yeah, I think actually telling people you got 0 of 7 or 1 of 7 was information that was probably best.
A little much, a little too much information.
Right.
Along the lines of what you said there with the rules announced, when we were writing up Furry Fiesta's website and we were setting up the Artist Alley page, me and Rama set aside the whole in big red text of, you have to have a Texas sales tax ID, you have to have this, you have to have that. And there were people who were vetting the webpage and said, this doesn't look very friendly. And me and Rama both turned and looked at him and basically said, you haven't had people break down in panicky tears because you didn't tell them, because they didn't rate the webpage well enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, both myself and Rama at different times have had people come to us and basically turn into melting puddles of panic and despair.
Oh no!
Because they bank their weekend on making some money in the alley, and now they can't.
That is the worst fucking thing.
I know. It is on the persons, but at the same time, we feel for them.
Because, oh, I understand you feel for them. I just kind of want to put it out there as we're an advice show. Do not go to a con intending to survive your weekend financially on the Artist's Alley.
That's because just a massive gamble. Because
the nature of the Artist's Alley is that it is not a guaranteed space every day.
Yeah. At least not at TFF. Yeah, different.
At most con. The only con where it is a guaranteed space is Anthrocon. Mm. Because they actually do all that online before the con. They don't even take Artist's Alley applications at the con anymore.
Well, I remember FWA has a massive Artist's Alley. And this was back a couple years ago, last time I went.
Yeah,
I
don't know.
It was just one of those things where you could come in, sit down, you know, pay the $5 or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was pretty empty most of the time. But that's probably an anomaly.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't fill up last year in the alley, but then the year before that, we were way, way, way over
for
our seating. So
haven't yet found, I don't think, a perfect way to handle the demand.
Well, that and having people talk, and you know, it was a lot better. You know, you got the whole rumor game that goes down, and you know, so
you get off on their suffering.
No, I don't. It really bothers me.
Yeah.
You know, there was a couple artists 2 years ago where they were basically calling me this mean, cold-hearted bitch. It's like, no, that's the exact opposite. And they didn't see me turn the corner and, you know, kind of, you know, have a little breakdown. Of course, that was right after I had a whole bunch of personal issues. But still, I'm not, you know.
We're not monsters.
And it's kind of, it comes down around to just people, convention people, the staff, we're just regular furries too. Some of us just do part-time jobs.
Yes. Where we're just kind of crazy. But yeah, when it comes down to it, I'm not looking forward to my own personal jury pool selection of vendors because there's going to be some disappointed long-time people and some disappointed new people that just I don't have the room for.
I was just going to say that, for years, most of the cons had all done first come, first serve. That was just always sort of the way it was. And people complained endlessly for years about how unfair that was. Because if you were not at your computer at noon on a Wednesday to hammer the F5 key when the con sold out in 12 minutes, then you didn't get in.
Yeah.
Or whatever day it was. And it's and now cons are changing up and are trying different things. And there's just as much complaining.
Oh, yeah.
It's impossible to be right. You can only be the least evil you can manage.
It's just, and you know, with social media now, it makes the backlash seem infinitely worse than it was years ago. And I mean, I don't know. I'm sure I would be upset and it would be a problem if I didn't get a table at a major con that we were counting on being at. But I'd like to think that I wouldn't, you know, accuse the con staff of being Nazis or, you know.
Especially the German con.
Having it out for me or anything like that, you know.
I don't know. I mean,
you know what this comes down to? It's all Obama's fault.
Yes.
You know, he told us that there would be no dealer panels and that we could keep the vendors that we liked.
Mm-hmm.
And he lied.
Thanks, Obamacare.
Thanks, Obama. Thanks, Obama. You broke FC.
So that's the two shit storms that are colliding.
So let's talk briefly about something that's not a shit storm.
HavenCon.
HavenCon. That's pretty cool. That's not a shit storm at all.
Yeah. HavenConTX.com is their website.
Mm-hmm.
They've gone full furry since we left, so we ran into them.
I think we've discussed them on the show. They are a LGBT gaming and geek convention down in Austin.
It was a big old deal last year.
They need $5,000 to secure their space for the April 2016 convention, and their funding is already 89% in less than a day.
That's cool.
So I think
Noxie sold a bunch of badges to help fund them, $450 a pop.
Yeah.
For their Indiegogo.
Which is pretty cool.
So yeah, they're running an Indiegogo. If you go to that website, it'll take you there, and you can learn some more information about it. It's going to be April 2016. I was hoping to go. I think they're going this year, but I was on the fence about it. And then they're like, well, it seems like it turned out to be.
Yeah.
If they get off the ground again, I'm hoping to go again next year.
Yeah, I want to go. The con that I was at is on that was on this year is on a different weekend next year, so I would be able to go.
Yeah.
I didn't really go out of my way to attend this year because it was like, well, it's a gaming convention, and I'm not at all interested in gaming.
It sounds more like LGBT geek
nerdery. Yeah,
it sounded like there was a bit more going on about that, and they've done it. They've done it.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, it's 107% funded.
Sweet.
$5,365.
That's awesome.
In one day.
That's awesome.
I will tweet my congratulations to them.
If you guys don't remember, we met this guy Shane down at PAX, and then we're looking at it's like this is going to be a LGBT geek thing in Austin. Well, hello, we are the furry community. We have a lot of LGBT folks, and a lot of us are nerds. Nice to meet you. We got him, I gave him a table at a fiesta for him to sit in. He's kind of gone full furry now.
Yeah, he has a character and everything. So Noxie had 5 badge slots and sold out at $450 each.
That was
so $450?
Yeah, that's one of the perks is $450.
Oh, very cool.
That's a Noxie 2 badge.
There was 5 of them?
5 of them.
So 5 of them times $450, I cannot math, I have the dome. So about a little less than $2,500.
Wow.
Yeah, so Shane just tweeted, and then HavenCon tweeted literally a minute ago, and then I tweeted without replying to them at them both going, woo, 107%. So I mean, they're super happy. That's great.
That's fucking awesome. I mean, and he's a nice guy. I mean, he's just enthusiastic and friendly and woohoo, we're a thing.
Yep. Well, I'm just glad we were able to like hook up with him at PAX South and be like, hey, where's this market up in North Texas that you haven't been able to really penetrate yet? So
let's just grease this up a little.
Yeah.
You can slide right on.
Yeah, but
that is what furries are good at.
Yeah, well, I was saying that in like the literal sense, but yeah, we did help him penetrate this market. Oh, baby.
So now that we've got a LGBT GeekCon with a furry influence, a heavy furry influence, I mean, it's on kind of their.
We should just take them
logo.
Over. Now a production of drama.
Oh, man, no. We already
have enough siesta on our... will turn into a full blown convention.
Oh God, no! I'm happy with a meet. Thank you very much.
It's going to be bigger. It's going to be 500 people are going to show up. I'm calling it now.
God,
I don't know.
That's terrifying.
I mean, I'm getting some ground noise, but I think a lot of it's going to be at the door when they walk in.
Mm. Yeah. In other news, I went to Seattle this last weekend. I had a lot of fun there. Got to be horse famous.
Yeah, I tweeted on an Oddcast account that you were being a pony fag.
I was indeed.
I didn't at Everfree Northwest's.
Probably a good idea. I went to Seattle for the first time since 2012. Had a much nicer experience this time. Got to do a couple panels, moderate the big VA panel on Sunday.
Cool. Who were the VAs up there?
They had Nicole Oliver, Tabitha St. Germain, Ingrid Nielsen,
who's Ingrid?
She's Maud Pye.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Lee Takar, who's multiple male background voices, and Kelly Sheridan, who was the villainess for the season 5 opening, and she'll be back, I guess. I'm pretty sure in the other parts of the season. It was really good. I got to do an interview, a little press conference interview with Lee Takar and John DeFucking Lancey.
Oh, nice.
Got to shake his hand, so that was cool. And it was generally just
a cute pony.
A great, fun time. I didn't spend a ton of money, but I did get to run into Dana Simpson again, she who does Heavenly and Australs and did Ozzie and Millie back in the day. She had
Heavenly Nostrils.
Yes. It's really cute. Check it out. It's
I read like all of their online comics, but it's really cute.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she doodled in the margins here. And she had the Ozzie and Millie complete collection for $15 a pop. So I picked up the last copy of, I think, of one of them. And then, so I have all of Ozzie and Millie in paperback form plus no, both.
I think Tieran has those in his
I was just library. Like, oh, neat. And I spent money elsewhere, and I just had a really fun time. It was a very, very positive experience overall.
Good. This is the first time in a long time you've come home from a PonyCon actually happy.
Yeah, I'll be honest, it is. Because, like...
Usually you're angry and frustrated and...
Well, yeah, I mean, because in the past, we got dicked over a lot. Mm-hmm. And, like, in 2012 was a year we got dicked over a lot. And the crew in charge were actually very apologetic and very friendly and very glad that we came back. Because, you know, we provided them a lot of, you know, additional exposure and media presence and whatnot. And it went really well. And they were really friendly and helped make us feel a lot better about going to dealing with conventions in general.
Yeah.
And, like, BabsCon was fun. I mean, it was long and tiring and not quite what we had hoped it to be, but we were just going to go. This time, we had a video camera, we had an agenda, we had panels. Like, we were on the ball and just ran ourselves, not, I wouldn't say run ourselves ragged, but we had a goal, and we achieved that goal, I feel. Got a fuckload of videos queued up onto the Bronyville YouTube channel of just us doing things. And, like, we got the video interview with those with John Lee Tucker and John Delancey, which is going up, I think, tomorrow.
I want to see the Bronyville XTube channel.
No.
Where that all those clop fix will finally come to life.
Yeah. No, no, I'm not going to do that. Sorry.
Those videos are for my use.
Yeah, coming soon to my channel, Romance Reports and various other clop fix. No. I would not be comfortable doing that. Anyways,
speaking of which,
it was really fun.
Twitter that the Audible version of Summerhill got its first review.
Oh,
5 stars.
Well, that's good.
So, yay!
Audible.com.
Audible also contacted me twice about the fact that the preview is chapter one, but the book starts at chapter two, and they're like, we think your book is fucked up. And I wrote them back again. It was like, no, it's a time travel book. It starts on chapter two. And they're like, okay, we've added a disclaimer in bold to your product description that says okay.
That. That's probably for the best.
Yeah, there may have been a couple of confused users.
Okay, so the reason I decided to do the quote second chapter as the intro, because it's more, it's establishing the character lives in a weird place and the rules aren't quite supposed to be.
Oh, yeah, I think that whole Pale Gray Sky chapter.
You know, really. Summerhill lived in the world of the Pale Gray Sky, and he was the only person who lived there, da-da-da-da. And, you know, and it ends with, like, you know, when you start questioning reality, you should probably do a thorough job of it. And I felt that kind of established, you know, this is a different novel. And because the actual opening... You know, in media res, he's on the Nusquam and talking to weird space aliens who aren't quite sure what he is in, like, the first 5 minutes. And it doesn't really establish. It gives you the idea that this is, like, taking place on the Nusquam, where the story does not. It maybe, like, a third of the story takes place in and around the ship, this time-traveling, dimensional-shifting ship. But it doesn't actually focus. Like, you don't – after, like – third, like the first third of the book, you don't hear about the Nusquam again, except for later on, he goes to, like, the shipyard where it was built.
Yeah. And which I love that scene. We shouldn't spoil too much.
Yeah.
Like the whole abandoned shipyard.
Yeah. That was a cool part. The part that I use as a preview establishing that it's a weird universe.
Yeah. No, I'm fine with that. It was just it confused the Audible people, yeah. I guess. So they I'm just amused because we've had to explain a couple of times behind the table. Ricky's had to explain a couple of times when he's
done like, no, it really does start in chapter two, and there's actually two chapter twos, and there's multiple chapter zeros.
Print, ebook, now audio.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get questions on all of them, which is fine. I mean, shows people are paying attention and buying the book.
Yeah. Buy my book.
But yeah, no, I just figured I'd let you know that because I was amused that I got another email from Audible
being like, I'm looking forward to getting the edit notes back from Kyle about Uncovered because I felt they did a good job with that one.
Good.
And looking forward to getting onto the next project after that, which we'll have to discuss what that one is going to be, because Kieran wanted me to do one of his books, and we also have, you know, Save the Day, which Zia's only wanted me to do for approximately ever.
Right. It's probably like 5 years.
Yeah. Well, since I've started doing this. Good times all around. I had a lot of fun. Seattle's really cool. We went to the fancy ass Starbucks Reserve Roastery, which is their like flagship coffee store, and had very expensive fancy coffee, very expensive hipster pizza. And we had one of our friends with us who like mega loves coffee, and so he was like nerdgasming over everything. And like it was a lot of fun.
I saw that the other day.
It's L'Oreal, brilliant. Paris, Chewbacca.
I like the Thor one. Thor-Oreal.
Yeah. Nice.
But yeah, next up, I got Akon this weekend. Akon technically tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because Ellen's been tweeting about.
Oh my God, I've got all this shit. Yeah.
To come up here and everything.
I think I'm going to be at my table solo tomorrow.
So you have are you in the con
alley? Yeah, it's in the artist alley area. So they have their vendor hall. Mm-hmm. It's their vendor hall is this big, huge space that's split into two. Mm-hmm. One half, like on one wall, is I think it's like the north wall of the room, is the line of con tables. Last year they had us this. We were at the very back of the hall in this kind of ghetto area. We were sequestered all by ourselves. And if you were on the back aisle, you were just dead. Mm-hmm. Nobody made it back there. And so this year they put the cons on one wall. So it's in line with the merch tables, the people selling their stuff in the artist alley. So we'll get higher foot traffic because for us, we actually were situated facing away from the bulk of the room. We just hostily took over a table of a con that didn't show up. We're just like, we're moving.
Yeah.
And we did. And another con, that one gay Yahweh con in like Missouri or whatever.
Oh.
They did similar. They're like, we're going to take over this table now because the other table's not there. And because they were like on the facing away from the bulk of the crowd. And needless to say, they weren't too pleased because, well, I mean, people weren't coming back there.
Yeah.
People are still
on con.
And donating to
Haven
Con and watching their
food. It was on con. That was what it was. And they had the thing is they had their signage facing towards the bulk of the crowd, so it was parallel to us. So it looked like it was the Nightmare Nights had this weird on con. It was like this dude wearing a like holding a baseball bat and holding a batter's helmet over his crotch. And we're like, yeah, this is
it's my little adult, it's all ages friendly.
Adult Rule 63 Scootaloo. Because the guy had that color hair and kind of orangish skin.
I was just thinking of the thing Rikoshi tweeted the other day.
I must have missed it.
It was like shower gel scents for furries. One of them is Scootaloo Climax.
God. So yeah, that's this weekend. Tomorrow I'm probably gonna be doing it solo, but I'm gonna have I'm basically gonna be bringing a bunch of like autograph cards and other leftover crap from the previous years and just giving it out to folks. Oh, okay. Like, hey kid, you want a picture of this OC pony? It's pony thing. This one has Zecora on it. You like Zecora, right? So I'll just be giving out stuff.
No, my daddy don't like those zebras.
Well.
Does Fiesta have any representation?
No, but if you guys got me some flyers, I could probably.
Okay. I don't know if they've got any printed yet.
Yeah, that's the thing.
We do?
Zap
had a bunch printed. He brought me a stack of them to bring to BLFC. So I know he has some somewhere.
Okay, well, I'll swing by your place after we finish recording and pick some up.
I don't have any of them. I brought them all to BLFC.
Oh, well, shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do that after the show.
Okay.
Because I'd be happy to have some Fiesta flyers on the table. It's only fair. So, yeah, it's exciting times. So we actually have some emails, but we're going to stop and save because we're 50 minutes into the recording. And we've talked nothing but cons.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to read at least one con report and some other emails, too. So we will be right back.
Okay.
I mean, it's something we're passionate about. And, you know, we were having this discussion at dinner about, you know, like the whole, why is there a black stormtrooper? It's like, well, there's a very good in-universe reason for this.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, Han Solo has a wife. Well, in the comics, she's drawn as black. Do we care?
No.
No. But they make it out to be
she could have been green.
No, she could have. It's kind of disappointing that he's got a human wife. I mean, he's on fucking Solo. He runs around with a Wookiee.
You know him and Chewbacca.
Oh, yeah. Getting that Wookiee dick.
You know there's
fanfic. Oh,
of course totally. There's fanfic. You can go online and find a bunch of slashfic covers from the early days. And there's there's C-3PO and R2-D2.
I love it when you talk dirty.
All right. Well, let's keep going.
We can leave that part in.
Yeah. We'll start with the Han Solo's wife.
Welcome to Downcast. Saffron just triggered me.
No.
So, yes, we've got some emails. I'm going to load this up. We've got a few.
Load up that fat email program, yo.
Yep, on our HP touchpad. The poor, poor, abandoned, red-headed stepchild that we got for like $50 when they discontinued them. It runs its own weird OS, so it's
web OS.
It's its own thing. And it, like, Google Documents no longer works on it.
Oh, God, really?
Yeah.
Google Docs is going to work on everything.
Yeah, it's
like IE6 or something.
This is like the equivalent now of one of those shitty $50 Android tablet that runs like Android 2.2 at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like nothing works.
I love my Nexus 6.
All right, so
the most recent version.
We will start with this one on the bottom.
The fox is on the bottom.
Yes, it is the fox on the bottom. You can always write into the show at notcast@foxstuffers.com. You can always send us anonymous questions via our Tumblr box, which nobody's been doing for a while, which is kind of sad because we set it up to do anon questions so people didn't have to attach their emails. But you know what? That's up to y'all. Notcast.tumblr.com.
Fine.
We can talk on Twitter next week and see if we can't stir up some.
Yep.
Stir up some shit.
Yeah, we're gonna hit that hornet's nest with our shit stirring stick. Let's just mix all these metaphors and burn it all down.
I love it with our shit stirring stick.
Yeah. Moving on. Subject: what's in a name? Greetings, Noncasters. I write this not anonymously, but with no name, as the subject is the reason behind this letter. When I started in the fandom and created my character, I chose a name that I had used as a nom de plume in high school. It was a pseudo-Japanese name, and I felt at the time that the name suited me. That was 10 years ago. Over the last year or so, I've made several big changes in my life, including losing 125 pounds and going back to college. Well, congrats on that. I've begun looking at this name I have chosen and wondering if it still fits. Part of me looks at this name I chose a decade ago and thinks it's silly to change it. Thinks it is silly and to change it. Another part of me thinks that it has lasted this long and to let sleeping foxes lie, and a third part of me wants to taco and a beer. We're not on speaking terms at the moment. Is it weird to change a character's name? I know that it's just a made-up thing, but I'm still wondering if it's odd. What do you think? Thanks, a fox with no name. On a somewhat different note, after a 20-hour shift at work and way too much caffeine, a coworker and I came up with the most creepy fursona we could think of. Squid-tar. Part squid, part centaur, all creepy. We called him her it Herbert. Just thought I'd share.
Wait. So, on the thing of changing names that no longer suit you, I've talked about this a couple times, and I wish that back in 1997, in the Wayback Machine, I hadn't picked Shiva. Yes, it was a call-out to the Final Fantasy series, and plus I read a lot of Hindu mythology at that point in time.
You're like, I'm going to diamond dust all over you.
But I've been it for almost 20 fucking years, and I don't know what to do at this point. I mean... So yeah, I know what you're talking about changing your name, and I'm kind of in the same boat, except now I have a whole bunch of friends that call me Shiva, and I've been known in the local area as Shiva, and, you know.
Yeah, you'd be called Shiva regardless.
Yeah.
For me, I started using the name Savrin as a nom de plume when I was, I think, 17. I'll be 32 here in 3 weeks.
Yeah, I was about 19 for Shiva.
And so, but the thing is, like, the name has endured.
It's not the name of a real-life religion's god.
No, and I mean, I realized well after the fact that I'd accidentally stolen the name from a webcomic character.
You did?
Yeah, I forget the artist's name, and, like, the character was, like, some winged fox or something. I just thought the name was cool, and it wasn't like pseudo-Japanese. It actually doesn't have like a real world. It's a fantasy name. And so I didn't really worry about it too much. It was just a name I needed to go by.
It wasn't named after the Mitsubishi Savin.
No, it was not. Prior to that, I'd used the name Holloway,
mm-hmm.
which is a cool name I like, but
mm-hmm.
People kept misspelling it, and I was going through some changes and trying to... I was a dumb teen and trying to figure out my own shit, so I was like, I'm not going to be a red fox, I'm going to be a finnick. Actually, I was just a swift fox for a while, then I was a finnick later on, because I wanted
Savrin
to be...
Savrin Drake, previously known as Savrin Dark Fox.
Oh, God.
On Wikifur.
Yeah, fucking Wikifur. Just, ugh, Christ. The fact that they have all that stuff there is just
boggling. He has made boggling. It to Panther and a fan of My Little Pony, Friendship and Magic.
Really? I haven't looked at my Wikifur page in a while.
Yeah, I don't even know if I have one.
Wow, that is a
that's old
picture. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Old.
I think we
all Wait. Let me see that. Let's see. Furry fan of Nocas, Fox must document. Wow, it has my old live journal. Personal web page. That shouldn't go anywhere.
It's got you linked on Twitter.
Really? Really? Where?
Probably at the bottom, under the web part.
Anyways, yeah, whatever. It's Wikifur. I guess I am sufficiently notable to have one. We have been involved in the fandom, I don't know, more than half my life at this point.
Lair of the Fox.
With
the zero.
Seriously,
you were such an elite hacksaw.
Dude, I was. Dude, I had a live journal when you had to have an invite to get onto the service.
Yeah, I had one.
So, seriously, it goes back to 2004. If you want to read about what a dumbass kid I was,
mm-hmm.
feel free to go back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but it's just like cringeworthy that shit's out there. But thankfully, I was smart enough later in life to not actually put everything and everything on the internet. Mm-hmm. So I'm not like most kids nowadays that post stupid shit to Facebook all the time and be like, woo, smoking a fat blunt and... Dropping 40s and pouring one out for my homie. Like, I'm 16, you know. Come to a fat party.
Yeah, I don't know if we commented about this before, but it was like, Yeah, I'm so glad I had, like, my dumb years before the internet.
Yeah.
Before Twitter and Facebook, at least.
And Tumblr.
And Tumblr. And just...
I use Tumblr for its intended purpose. Pornography.
Yep. Oh, man. I absolutely love Sidon's alt universe.
Oh, yeah. The...
Ivory and Sparkling Cider.
Yeah, where they swap.
Yeah, it's yeah, like, the comedy. Oh, my God, you're so adorable. Just... I really love the character designs he came up with for that pair. And
it's like a girly Applejack and a buff Rarity.
Just dude's got a really good character design skills.
Yeah, they're good at what they do.
Art. Anyway, yeah.
Speaking of Tumblr.
Well, you should be. Well, I mean, so going Shiva's kind of stuck
there. Yeah.
And I was going to say, I made Fuzzwolf as a name when I was like 22 or 23. So I was... Yeah, it's not a hugely original name, but I'm not stuck with something during my dumb teenage years.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, I'm okay with it. I obviously have way too much baggage and stuff connected to it. You know, my company, the podcast.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's even like a mental thing after a while, mm-hmm. where it's like you've been using a pseudonym for so long. If someone says... Hey, Saverin. I'll be like, what?
Yeah.
And if they use my real name, then that'll give me pause, and I'll be like, wait, who? Oh, right. Fuzz. Might give you pause.
Yeah.
Wave your hands around like goofy. So, I mean, it's just one of those things that's like, for good or ill, I like the name and I'm sticking with it. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm lucky that I don't have that issue. But I also didn't give myself a... semi-weeb name.
I would say, you know, if you had it for a long time and you made it when you were a very different person and you were a kid or something like that, then change it.
Evolve. Yeah.
Yeah. But don't...
don't press B and stop your evolution, because then you'll never be able to evolve further.
But don't change it, like, 8 times.
Don't be stuck a Pikachu forever.
You know, like, don't be one of these people that... just changes their name fucking constantly, or changes their name every 5 minutes because they want to get away from drama or something.
Yeah, that's like a good way to just invite more drama.
Yeah, yeah. It's just dumb. It's a sign of instability. So pick something you like and stick with it.
I mean, and again, you always have the option to change. You know, don't take our like, well, we're kind of stuck with ours because, well, we're old, but we're also very well established under the names we operate under, so that if like I suddenly became Herford the three-legged cow where the third leg is my dick, then well, you know, mm-hmm. people would kind of be like, who the fuck is that? And mm-hmm. you know, you would have to like reestablish yourself.
So like at least one well-known artist was
he'd be a Taran.
Was Mitty Mandy.
Yeah.
Used to be Touch My Badger. And she actually had a pretty good sized following and everything under that name. But then, like, she grew out of it because she made it when she was very young. And people were retarded and kept poking her at cons. Because
Touch My Badger.
Yeah, because people are fucking.
Because idiots. You should. Because personal space doesn't reel.
Yeah, so like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, she changed it to Mitty Mandy.
And she's now,
now pretty established. Much everybody knows her as Mitty Mandy. And she's established under that name. She's transferred
her art big, career. Big, big booth at, well, no, she had a big display at Air Free Northwest.
Oh, okay.
She also does like the little badges.
Yeah.
She has like a billion ponies.
Yeah, yeah. So, it's like, I mean, it is possible, even if you have an established presence as an artist or something like that, to move names. But, I mean, yeah, it does take a while to fully transfer over and everything. But, no, I mean, I'd encourage it if it's just not you anymore. But anyway, next email. This one is...
As a follow-up from, I don't know how long ago this one was original. It doesn't sound familiar. Maybe I wasn't on that day.
Kitsune follow-up. Heroigen podcast. Ryoki here. First and foremost, I just want to...
Ryoko. Not Ryoki.
Why am I thinking Ryoki? Sorry. Ryoko here. First and foremost, I just want to thank you for the advice. I'd gotten a bit caught up with everything and didn't get a chance to sit down and write this out. I will admit, quote, making a mess of my life, unquote, was probably not the best line to use. I vaguely remember this email. But it certainly doesn't seem like I've lost quite a bit of headway. Then again, life is bound to have setbacks. Anyway, I actually get a chance to talk to both Tom and Ron, though I can't say I'm particularly pleased with the results of the latter. In regards to my current living arrangement, Fuzz has suggested soap and pillowcase. That was
interesting. That'll solve lots of problems.
The only real problem I came across is a lack of bar soaps. Okay, I jest. But I will admit, I have been tempted to smack Ron upside the head on more than one occasion. As for the spanking, well, that was brought up a few months ago as a joke, and while he was verbally opposed to the idea, his pants certainly disagreed with him. Woo-hoo. In any case, I spoke with Ron at the start of the month regarding rent and utilities. Of course,
he threw a
bit of a fit, but thankfully the threat of having the internet cut off had been enough, and he is now caught up in his payments.
Yay. Excellent.
Somehow he managed all 4 months of utilities and two of rent all at once. Of course, he was pretty pissed off with me. No surprises there. Well, fuck him. After having cleared that up, I actually learned a few things. As it turns out, Ron had lost his job last month at the start of April and hadn't informed me. To add to this, he's now coming to me for money, and it's getting really irritating. I'm not, after all, a bottomless pit of cash. As far as I'm aware, foxes are known for having other bottomless traits. In any case, I spoke with Jane, and we both agreed that Ron needed to leave. Thankfully, this works out with the lease, as our landlord asked that we renew in a couple of months instead of having to renew midwinter when we signed. This makes it considerably easier since the lease is up in July. Still longer than either of us are willing to put up with Ron's actions, but it's at least much sooner than it would have been otherwise. Adam, however, is not on the lease and is more than likely going to be following Ron. This does put some financial pressure on Jane and I, though, but a couple minor changes to the budget I don't think I have to worry about, thankfully. Anyway, things with Jane have been pretty much the same since we broke up with a few changes. Everything has certainly calmed down, though, and we're back to our usual routine. There's a lot of people.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm thinking. It's
like, Drew has mostly stopped harassing me after I simply started ignoring the messages, so I suppose we're basically on speaking terms, as long as the topic of moving doesn't come up again. Something I'll have to remember to avoid in the future, no doubt. Now, with Tom, and things went about as well as can be expected. He wasn't particularly thrilled and has avoided contact since we last spoke, but that's probably for the best. Fenn, on the other hand...
This is like relationship trigonometry.
And we don't have our cliff notes to
yeah. Fenn, on the other hand, is very confusing. While friendly, it's sort of a strange relationship we have going on, but it works. Right now, I have turned my attention towards schooling anyway. I suppose we shall find out how things end up in the future. For now, though, my portfolio is slowly growing and stories are taking shape. Frank, on the other hand, is still insisting on dressing in his Nazi fur uniform around the apartment. It is really upsetting Zoe, Joey, and Jane, who are all Jewish.
And Kathleen decided that she's going to wear nothing but pants. She refused to wear a shirt in the house, but she hasn't been arrested while going outside because she has a really nice rack.
Because she was like, hey, bitches, my girl's gotta be free.
And then my derpy tulpa has decided that she's going to move out, so I don't have her anymore. So,
yeah.
We just added a few things
keep
on the end there.
Keep on casting my fellow furry friends, Ryoko.
So, yeah, this guy had wrote in a while back and had a whole bunch of issues going on, but it looks like things are...
Sounds like he's got most of his...
stuff going in the right direction.
Two girls, a guy, a pizza place, a fursuiter, a Nazi, and...
A tulpa.
And a tulpa. And some baked brie.
Yeah. Mm. Why would you bake brie? That shit would just melt. That seems like very, like, that's some high difficulty food there.
Mm.
Damn, low 50 culinarians. Goddamn.
Anyway, Final next 14. Email.
Okay.
Wolf Goggles. Hello, I wanted to relay this exchange I had with a friend, because why wouldn't I? Okay. So we're driving, and then my friend brings up this time a young girl came in wearing an anthropomorphized wolf head. It's a fairly advanced model, complete with moving mouth and eye parts. What he then took issue with is the fact that she was also sporting a pair of red steampunk goggles. His exact words, I mean, if you want to wear a wolf head, why not? But why on earth would you pick goggles in color wolves can't see? Wolves only have blue and green cones in their eyes. They literally cannot see the color red. Those goggles are going to render everything black on a wolf. Black on a wolf. He said that, then I died. This is especially problematic as I was also driving at the car.
Well, did you ever think that maybe her fur suit is blind? Her fursona might be blind. Yeah, shitlord.
Ah, oh, you cis-sighted shitlord.
That actually is an interesting thing. That's called thinking a step too far, other than, it looks cool.
I don't know. That is amusing to me.
Yeah, that is right.
It's like, yeah, wolf head, whatever, but what the fuck with the goggles?
They can't see shit with that. What's going on here? All right.
Read the email, shitlord.
Yep. I was just briefing it. Okay, so game question that could relate to relationships. This is directed towards Shiva and Saverin, but Fuzz may have something to say on the subject. I was looking around Steam, Humble Bundle, and several other sites and began to realize that there are no games out there about LGBT relationships that do not involve relationships without it being trying to sleep with the other person. Do you think it's about time that there is a game with an LGBT relationship without it having to be about sleeping with the other person? Sort of like how there are LGBT books with people who are LGBT. Or does the physical relations have to be part of the game? Running Cat. P.S. Haven't looked at the Notcast website and you may want to update it. It still has the original Notcast crew on it, along with the last episode being posted there in 2014. Just saying. That should be redirecting to the Tumblr page from now.
Yeah, I fixed foxstuffers.com, so now it is redirecting to Notcast.com.
Okay, so characters who are gay that are, by the way, gay and not about... relationships with it? Well, let's see. So in The Last of Us, in the DLC story, you have Ellie and this other girl, and you find out that she is a lesbian. In most VNs that feature gay characters, you're going to be hooking up with them, because that's just how visual novels work. I'm trying to think of what games actually just have gay characters that are like, yeah, I'm gay, and? Well, like,
what about the whole... Femshep thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's
that's the only thing I've heard.
Well, there's like Commander Shepard in Mass Effect. You could choose to make your character gay or straight. Uh-huh. It's just like in how you relate to people. Mm. But it's, you don't have to be with, you don't, you only get the one chance to bang them, pretty much. But it's just like you can,
but it's not really the goal.
It's not the goal of the game. Life is Strange is another one of those, I think, that has LGBT themes, but I don't know. Mm. I mean, a lot of times when it comes to having characters who are gay, it is the point of the game.
It's not by the side. I mean,
yeah. Well, I mean, like even in like Dragon Age Inquisition, right? They have like the incredibly butch elf lesbian. You have the really kind of flamboyant gay dude. They don't have, and they have also like characters who are like, yeah, well, they are options. They can be gay, but more often than not, they don't like read as such. So it's like they're characters that are option. They're romanceable by both male and female characters. So it's just like, I mean, I would say the games probably don't have characters who are gay or straight, but that are just that way. Unless it relates to the story somehow. Mm. Because, I mean, for all you know, like, the main character in fucking Call of Duty Advanced Warfare could be gay.
It doesn't come up.
But it doesn't come up because he's just running around killing the fuck out of terrorists.
Yeah.
But I also haven't finished that game. I bought it. I bought the $100 version.
Yeah, there's a lot of games where what their sexuality doesn't come up, and they could be either way.
Yeah, I mean, what's like... One of the guys in Grand Theft Auto V, the crazy dude, is implied to be bisexual. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's not like a defining character trait. It doesn't come up as a thing, right? He's, you know, crazy and evil. But, yeah, I'm just trying to think. It's like a lot of games that if they're going to have a gay character and they're going for, like, the social commentary route, they're going to have, like, a romance option or... Like, or I'm a gay character and I'm coming out and this is like the experience of coming out. I don't think they've made a game like that, but I'm sure some indie will. But it's not like the goal of the game is...
Yeah.
Like, I could see like maybe like a Persona-style game where you have, well, minus the weird persona-ness, but like the social links of being a high school kid and like maybe coming out and, you know, living the life, or it's like navigating high school and you can choose to, you know, like, is your character gay or straight? Is your, maybe is your character transgender? And then like, and trying to get realistic-ish, like the day in the life kind of stuff. I can see that could be an interesting social like commentary game. Wouldn't necessarily be very fun, but it could be done. But for the most part, gaming, unless there's a good reason for sexuality to be part of a character's reason, then I don't really know if it has to have a place.
And that's one thing that was like, there aren't any trans characters in games. And I think about that, it's like, well, then you have to like actually make something about their bio where you actually have to call out the fact that they're trans, and it's not just, you know, maybe something noted in like a,
you know, like, well, and like even then you'd have page. People, yeah, it'd be like, it's a biography, it's like, you know, born,
put their birth name and then what they're going by now, and yeah, one be really feminine, one be
and
really
just masculine. Be like,
so it's implied,
yeah, it's implied, but it doesn't have to be a thing. And if you treat it respectfully, people are going to be like, oh shit. Well, actually, there's a character in the new Mortal Kombat who's gay.
Oh.
And it comes up as just this, by the way, thing. Kung Jin, he uses a bow and arrow and is one of the heroes of the story and makes it through the game and as a surviving character. And it's, he's gay. It's not, you know, heavily hinted at, but like one of the female characters makes a pass at him. He's like, no thanks. You know, and it's implied that.
Finishing move. Flawless sodomy.
But, you know, he's a character that in the story mode is gay. But it doesn't have any actual bearing on the story aside from, like, character interactions a little bit. But he's actually one of the top tier characters in the game. So, you know, who cares?
Yeah. See, I think that stuff's important, though.
I mean, it's representation. And representation's important. But it also needs to kind of have a reason. Like, in the story mode, you have Cassie Cage and Takeda, I think. Which, I mean, I'm speaking gibberish to you, Fuzz.
I mean, but like, other characters, there's backstories where they talk about their girlfriend that was killed on a
It was killed by the invading armies of Outworld. I don't know. I haven't played Mortal Kombat X, the story mode. I haven't played the game, actually. I like watching it because they actually made it really look good to play. Mm-hmm. And there's some really skillful people out there. But it's also not quite my kind of game. I like fighting games, but I don't like Mortal Kombat.
It's funny because, like, with representation, it's different than, like, racial minorities. Because you can put a black guy in Mortal Kombat, and it's very clear that he's a black guy.
Yeah.
But you don't have to write a whole big backstory about him being black. But
he woke up one day and he looked at his skin and was like, oh, shit.
Yeah. But if he's also gay, then you have to write some element in there to indicate his relationship status or, you know, whether he gives the brush off to a hot chick, which could be anything from he's not a boob man, he's an ass man, to he's gay. I mean, it'd be difficult. But I think the representation's important. It just has to be done a little bit differently.
Yeah.
That is so bad.
But yeah, and like with the using Mortal Kombat as a reference, I mean, 99% of the people aren't going to... Well, I mean, a chunk of people aren't going to play through the story mode, and if they do, they're not going to catch it. And if they do catch it, they're like, oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Do I like this character's play style? Yes, no. And, I mean, that's the extent of it.
Yeah, I mean...
Well, I actually, if we actually get talking about trans characters in video games, Poison.
I was going to say, are you going to bring up Poison?
I'm going to bring up Poison. Because she's the only, like, example of a character that I can think of.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things where, like, in the original Japanese, she was mentioned as this character was transgender or, you know, a ladyboy. But then, like, in America, they just, like, made her a chick. And so, like, it's been one of those things where it's like, oh, shit, it's Poison, you know, watch out. But, you know, the developer's like, she's a woman. And so, like, you can take that kind of how you want. And it's...
What about Bridget? That's a different...
Well, Bridget's just a very, very feminine dude, but he's very much a dude.
Yeah.
He's like, but I'm a boy. Get on the bed. Oh, wait, that's just
so much porn about that.
Oh, there is. He's actually coming to the night to the game too, in super sexy 3D girly boy thing.
Which game?
Guilty Gear XR. The whatever patch expansion new they're coming. They're it's the new one, but they're like adding new characters over time. Because they can do that nowadays. Instead of having to put out a new board or whatever, they're just like, yeah, we're going to download the new patch and it has a new character and some balancing things. Mm-hmm. So, like, arcades can now update their shit on the fly. It's great.
That's cool. I didn't know that worked with arcades as well.
Yeah. Well, that's actually part of the reason, since this is a huge digression, why Americans don't get Beatmania and DDR games anymore. Uh-huh. Because Konami went to a networked system that doesn't allow American IPs to connect. So, like, you can't import, because a lot of the DDR games that were imported. Mm. And so, like, they'd have English language options and whatnot, but they're intended for use in Japan and stuff. And so nowadays, the machines have to call home, and American machines can't do that.
Hmm. That's sad. That's really, really
so,
sad.
I mean, so DDR and all them are still going strong in Japan, but America's never getting them again because fuck Konami.
Yeah, well, I mean, why aren't they doing that? There's like a huge market here.
Because it's not as huge as it should be, and Konami's really getting out of the arcade and console markets. They're more into health clubs and gambling now.
What?
Well, I mean, Konami...
Okay, sorry, I thought there were a video game.
Well, they were for a long time, but they're an old-school Japanese zaibatsu, so they have their fingers in a lot of different pies, and gaming became a very small slice of that pie. And so they've kind of moved away from making console games to focusing on health clubs, some of the arcade stuff in Japan, where they also have pachinko, and actual legal gambling. Mm-hmm. There actually is a Konami America... building in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you'll find Castlevania and Contra slot machines in some Vegas casinos. Mm-hmm. But those are the only places you're going to be seeing those franchises used at all.
Which is sad.
Yeah. Well, Bloodstained, the Koji Igarashi Metroidvania game, which is, it's the like a spiritual successor to Symphony of the Night. Konami told him to fuck off, so he's like, I'm going to Kickstarter and I'll make my game that I want to make. Fuck you. So, and that's partly because Konami is like, we're gonna part ways with Vidya Games. And
okay, I didn't know that that
happened. And that was our really long-winded thing about gays and gaming. This is a long one.
Do we have another one?
Yeah, we have the Motor City FreeCon at Midwest Brony Fest.
Cool. Okay.
Go, Vaz. You can do it.
Oh, is it my turn?
Yes.
Yeah, I read the one about Vigigames.
All right. Motor City FreeCon and Midwest Brony Fest.
Bronies.
Better not miss this.
Brother.
Sunday. Good evening, Notcast. I've written a con report before detailing my experiences at TrotCon last year, and thought I'd continue to trend with other conventions. Motor City Furry Con 2015 was my first real furry convention. I say real furry because bronies are more like a redheaded stepchild. Kind of like that one kid in middle school who still eats paste or believes in the tooth fairy. Sure, they're strange, but you just don't have the heart to tell them otherwise. How was your time at Everfree Northwest? Anyway, I went to the convention in Novi with only the experience of a few furry bowling meets under my belt. I was pleasantly surprised at how laid back everything was. There was no real rush to go places or do things, which is a far cry from the hustle and bustle of a high attendance convention like YoMamaCon. YoMaCon. I spent most of my time just hanging out and socializing rather than going to a bunch of panels, which was actually refreshing, like Sprite. Before I could get in, though, there was a matter of registration to attend to. While the line wasn't biblical or anything, it still was a bit of a wait. Apparently a shelf or something had fallen on one of the MacBooks used to control the badge printer, and so they were down to one machine to handle the hundreds of people. I used this time to meet some new people and check street passes. Of course, I tagged a person from Yukon Territory in Germany.
Neat.
Pro tip, if you ever find yourself here as an attendee, get the sponsor level badge. It's $30 more than the regular 3-day and to give you unlimited food and beer after 5 p.m. all weekend. After registration, it was smooth sailing. My friends and I meandered around the convention space and vendor hall, buying stuff and chatting it up for most of the first day. I got to meet Pepper Coyote, and after chatting a bit, bought a few of his CDs, which are now a fixture of my car.
Good man.
Later that night, I went to an introductory Ferroticon tournament and had a blast. It's like magic, but with more genitals. What's there not to like?
Magic the Dickening.
Yes. I actually won the tournament, narrowly beating my friend Dill, the guy mentioned in an earlier write-in who shared some crazy stories with the noodle incident that was Canterlot Gardens.
Canterlot Gardens.
I didn't go to the rave, though. I could still hear the bass line through the hotel, so it made up for it. The second day was much the same as the first, with the addition of a few events. One of them being a car show in which I got to see some nice and some rice cars. I'm surprised that some of the cars made it through the potholed mess that is Michigan, especially the hashtag Stance Nation ones. It furthers... I have no idea.
I'm going to assume that they're lowriders of some description.
It furthers my theory that furries don't abide by conventional laws of the universe. The other event was a fursuit dance competition, which was a lot of fun to watch. I didn't stay for the whole thing, as I had another gaming event to go to, but what I saw was pretty amazing. I could barely walk down the street, and there were people tearing it up in full garb. A couple of the participants were blind and still managed to be freaking amazing. Sunday was a nice, albeit sleep-deprived day. It was a bit more laid back than usual, with not many panels or events happening. There was plenty of bustle in the sponsor lounge, though, as they had opened it up to everyone at this point, and, you know, free beer and all that. I managed to get the contact info of some of the longer distance people I met at the con before fucking off to a Bob Evans with some friends for dinner. I have a feeling that the staff there weren't prepared for the strangeness that are furries.
Are they ever?
No. After dinner, we stayed for the Dead Dog Dance Rave thing, which was the last event of the con, and a final chance to get the energy and alcohol out of your system before going back to real life. There weren't many people there, but it was fun anyway. Overall, I had a blast. It was a different dynamic from what I'm used to seeing from Brony and anime conventions. While there are the occasional over-the-top people, the majority of attendees were nice and chill. I think part of that had to do with the age cutoff at 18, and the general age demographic of furries being a bit higher than that of Brony or anime fans.
It really is true.
Which is true. Anyway, I am most likely going to come back next year, as it's only an hour away from where I live, as well as look into other furry conventions. Hopefully Midwest Fur Fest will be a bit less terrorist attacky next year.
One would hope.
Well, they caught one of the dudes, didn't they?
No, that was just a rumor.
That was a rumor.
But yeah, he means the chlorine thing.
Yeah, yeah. I know that one.
Since this is already a novel of an email and I have to go, I'll probably end up writing the Midwest Brony Fest follow-up for next week. Thanks for being awesome, Zerion. P.S. If I come to Nightmare Nights Gals or Furry Fiesta, can I get you all to sign my face?
I'll get a silver Sharpie.
Sure. Okay. I've got a couple of really big, thick poster board user Sharpie, you know, the big chisel tip ones. Mm-hmm. When I did that stupid Waluigi number one, that did the wrestling signs at BabsCon. That was so fun. It was so stupid, but it was so fun.
I don't remember this.
Okay, so at BabsCon, Dusty Cat was doing like an arm wrestling thing that actually kind of ended poorly.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And, but we made wrestling signs like, you know, can you smell what Dusty's cooking or, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And I, a dude on a podcast, I listen to video games guy, Dan Reichert went to, the fucking WrestleMania. And one of the signs he had was, it said Waluigi number one, and it ended up in the background shot of several things. So it was really visible. And it's so stupid because Waluigi is just this joke character in Mario, but mm-hmm. it's funny. And we're like, because I like the guy and, Flynn likes the guy, we're like, yeah, let's do this. Cause we made stupid wrestling signs and passed them out to some of our friends. So we would have wrestling signs for the stream for the arm wrestling event. We also used them at a couple other things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you come to either con, sure, we will certainly sign whatever. Actually, I think it was funny because I think he actually asked me on Twitter, like, hey, is Nightmare Nights a good con? I'm like, yes. I'm just a little biased, though. And he's like, but aren't you on the staff? Yes. I'm biased. You should come. So, all right, cool. Thanks for writing in, Zirian. And, yeah, give us a write-up for the Brunifist. Motor City FearCon sounds like it's a fun time. That's the one that supplanted...
FCN.
Yeah, Furry Connection North.
Yes.
It was the Descendant.
Okay, yeah.
So, thanks for writing in, folks. You can, again, contact us at notcast@foxdeffers.com. You can send us anonymous questions at notcast.tumblr.com. You can contact us on Twitter at notcast. All those fun places.
And also check out our Patreon at patreon.com/notcast.
Yes, if you have $4 a month, as little as $4, or, well, as one dude decided to put 69 cents an episode. I don't know if they'll process that, but we'll see.
69! Yeah.
So, yes, check out our Patreon, and, you know, you can always follow the Tumblr, because that's where all of our stuff is posted nowadays. Well, the links are posted there, but you can find us on iTunes and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm going to get on this really quick so I can get this out and scheduled, because this coming weekend is going to be very busy and not going to want to...
This coming weekend for you is ACON. Also, shout out to folks going to Califer this weekend. So write us with your CaliferCon reports if you're out there.
Yep, and I'll talk about ACON and what madness lies there.
Good luck to you.
Oh, and if you get this out before the weekend,
I'm gonna do it like now.
Okay, if you're going to Califer, go to the Rabbit Valley Comics table because they're carrying the Fur Planet stuff.
Yeah.
So if you want any Fur Planet stuff, that's where you'll find it in the dealer's room.
Okay.
So yeah, it is about later. Time to wrap this up. It is 10:30, so we are going to wrap this up, and that is going to be it for this week. So good night.
And big balls.